This is an RNZ podcast.
Last Friday was World Press Freedom Day, and on 9 to noon this week, media commentator Gavin Ellis had some good news about where we had placed on the World Press Freedom Index, put together each year by the global media freedom group Reporters Without Borders.
To the World Press Freedom, which has
We've come up a notch. We've come up a notch. We're now ranking 7. We were 8 last year. Our score has dropped by 2.87. Now, the lowest score is best. The lowest in the world is Norway at 7.82. The highest is Turkmenistan at 85.44, followed closely by North Korea at 83.4.
Well, good to know that we're nearer to Norway at the top and not the cellar dwellers North Korea, where the government controls the media absolutely. But in the months ahead, our media here could come into conflict with the powers that be when getting to the bottom of the Christchurch mosque attacks. And this week, one outfit already has.
How is it that a major news media organisation has managed to get its hands on New Zealand's updated terror watch list? There's 100 individuals that our security agencies are supposedly keeping a vigilant eye on. How the hell did such a top-secret list end up in the hands of the news media?
Mike Yardley there on Newstalk ZB, spluttering over a scoop in the Sunday Star Times last weekend under the headline, Secret Watch List Revealed. The paper said that more than 100 people are being actively monitored by police, but the police would not even comment on the list's existence, and they've since launched an investigation into just how that list ended up in the paper's hands in the first place. So, who is on that list? Well, the Sunday Star Times publisher Stuff said it chose not to name anyone on it or to contact anyone for security reasons. Now, that's not the first tough call the media here have had to make in a new environment after the Christchurch mosque attacks, and it won't be the last. There's going to be a royal commission investigating whether the attacks could have been prevented, how our security services monitor extremists, and whether they chose the right targets. The investigation is bound to uncover things that the government, the police, and our security agencies might want to conceal, withhold, or at least manage. Meanwhile, investigations by the media, which are just as hungry for answers, could come into conflict with the powers that be, who will reckon that they have national security on their side. In 2017, for example, an overhaul of spy agencies' powers created a new offence for people who pass on classified information. While the changes make it easier for people to make a protected disclosure to the Inspector General of Intelligence and Security, those who pass information on to journalists might face up to 5 years in jail. Now, this law has yet to be tested, but it would be a brave member of the intelligence services who leaked anything to the media on that basis. New Zealand's search and surveillance laws have also been beefed up in recent years too, as Nikki Hager discovered in the wake of dirty politics. And the current government is also now exploring whether the law and procedures to protect whistleblowers at work need to be strengthened. In Australia, state governments already support whistleblowers who contact journalists there, but here there are no such so-called shield laws. The mosque attacks in Christchurch have also prompted some pretty unprecedented censorship. The chief censor swiftly banned the gunman's video and his so-called manifesto, and major internet service providers clubbed together to block websites that were hosting them. And if that was unprecedented, so was their acquiescence when the government then asked them to extend that block. On News Hub Nation last weekend, the broadcasting minister, Chris Farfoy, praised them for that.
Some of our internet service providers did shut down some sites that were propagating some of the material that happened as a result of March the 15th.
That's the industry regulating itself. That's not the government stepping in.
No, but I think if you look at the way the industry and the government worked in a lot of spaces, actually, and around the 15th, to make sure that New Zealanders were kept safe, it's quite promising.
On top of all this, there's also concern that revised hate speech laws could cramp the media's freedom of expression. And earlier this month, MP Louisa Wall raised eyebrows on Facebook by saying it was time that the media was recognised as part of the political system.
This would impose a duty of care on the media, requiring adherence to a standard of reasonable care while performing any acts that could foreseeably harm others.
Now, the mutual interests of our news media, when it comes to their basic freedoms, are represented by the New Zealand Media Freedom Committee, which this week agreed a set of common principles for covering the upcoming trial of Brenton Tarrant. The Media Freedom Committee's current chair is the New Zealand Herald's Miriam Alexander, who we heard from earlier on Media Watch.
Look, I'm not concerned about clashes, but I think that it's really important that everyone sticks to their knitting, if you like. We will certainly, as the media, be doing our job. We've been faced, haven't we, with an unspeakable tragedy, and that we're in uncharted waters in terms of dealing with the aftermath. But I think we've all, as you alluded to, we've put out some protocols this week. We're all very much together as an industry on the fact that we've got an important job to do as we continue to cover the aftermath of Christchurch. Been having discussions, of course, about the fact that we should be making sure that we're vigilant about various aspects to the court case. We want to ensure that we're given a fair hearing there when it's when matters of suppression and things are considered. Same with the Commission of Inquiry. We're going to be very interested in how that unfolds, but I can assure you we won't be lying down on this. We'll be definitely watching to ensure that we can be the public's eyes and ears on these really important matters.
There are heavy penalties now, heavier penalties for people who leaked sensitive or classified information to the media. I mean, if it should come to that, that someone wants to leak something to the media and there's a threat to them or even to the journalist that might report it, is this something that the Media Freedom Committee, on behalf of all media, would be prepared to take on?
Oh, absolutely, because we must leave the media free to do the jobs that they should do, and we've got a duty to protect sources, but also to tell stories that are utterly in the public interest. So we'll be certainly watching closely for that.
I mean, so far, have you sensed anything or heard from any other journalists or editors that avenues of information that ought to be open are being closed down, or any pressure coming on any journalist who might know something about Christchurch, you know, such as that Stuff Watchlist story, which obviously the police weren't happy about, but no sense that anyone's being leaned on in any way so far?
We haven't been made aware of anything, but I do think that we are, as I said before, in uncharted territory, and people are sensitive to the fact that we have had this awful tragedy and we will be watching. It's a one thing for the police to be unhappy about a leaking of information, and that wouldn't be the first time, would it? But we've still got a job to do, and we'll make sure that we do it.
We have seen some unprecedented sort of censorship, the chief censor's decisions. We've seen the internet service providers lock off access to websites, things that wouldn't normally happen. Louisa Wall, MP, writing a Facebook post that confused and alarmed some people, seeming to say that we need the media not to do harm and that they need to realise they're part of the political system. There might be a growing mood for a bit more censorship or restriction on the media, and if we end up debating hate speech laws, that there could be a kind of political mood among, you know, lawmakers and MPs that that the media needs to be chopped back a bit?
I think that that was just a silly one-off, frankly, and I'd be very surprised if any mood emerged to curb the media's right to do its job, which is a fundamental part of our democracy.
And certainly they wouldn't.
And look, that was a really unusual thing, wasn't it? We're talking about a gunman live streaming a massacre. I mean, that is not something that happens every day. That is not something that New Zealand media companies would certainly do. So it is about the fact that they were doing that in an attempt to try and stop that spread of that incredibly awful and hateful video.
That was the current chair of the New Zealand Media Freedom Committee, Mirjana Alexander, who's also the New Zealand Herald's editor of premium content. Now, you can hear more about the media freedom issues arising in the wake of the mosque attacks in Christchurch in a special Media Watch article on the RNZ website. Just look for the title, Uncharted Waters for New Zealand Media Freedom.